Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former Grangekeeper now about to become the Masters champion.
It's 5 o'clock.
My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair.
A tradition, unlike any other.
I tell you, I don't understand it. I'm playing the worst game of my life.
Hey, put yourself down. You're not good. You stink.
It's a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
For
the Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's your Sports Bros on a Thursday. Rop and Sue. I'm Rop. That's Sue. Suh.
Suh.
Coming up, Jason Quick, our Blazers insider, will join us at 5:15. That's in about 10 minutes. We'll talk about the Blazers' chances of knocking off the best team in the NBA tonight, the Utah Jazz.
Well, they did just get done playing an overtime grinder against Phoenix, so maybe Portland catches them sleeping.
And will Yusuf Nurkic play? We'll find out. Coming up tonight, our club hour. This is the first time in a year that this has fallen. I'll tell you what that is.
First time in a year that it's fallen.
Yeah. And should we do more things barefoot, an expose?
The answer to that question is yes. I am often criticized for my barefoot ways, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's weird. People have a thing about shoes off.
Why is that
off.
Disgusting?
I don't know.
What is seeping?
If you're outside?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
I'm barefoot all the time, and I'm constantly...
Mind your own damn business, people.
Well, I'm constantly being told that that's disgusting.
I took my shoesies off at the... I played 36 holes the other day.
Yeah.
And in between 18, mm-hmm. I took my shoesies off to give my tootsies a little rest.
Sure.
Oh, I got some dirty looks there on the putting green.
Well, you know, golf courses, I have been told, because in the summertime, depending on how many vitamin R's I've had, I have had a tendency to go barefoot a time or two. And I will tell you that the course marshal, he does not like that. I didn't know you weren't allowed to not play barefoot. But apparently...
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Well, I found
we've
that...
We've played... remember Gary Haberman?
Yeah.
Gary...
former hot seat, and now it's the G-Man Brewery, I believe.
Yeah, down there in Tualatin?
Yeah.
He plays barefoot.
Yes.
We've played with him barefoot before.
I love the barefoot play. On a nice...
Love that.
Nice sunny day, you take the kicks off, but...
But a lot of clubs frown upon it.
I have been told multiple times that is not okay.
Well, and golf's stuffy.
And I don't ask questions, but I don't understand why... Me being barefoot. In fact, I would think that me being barefoot would be less damaging to the course than
dude,
me wearing spikes.
It's probably a stuffy golf rule from the 20s, and nobody has the balls to change it.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that Brooks Koepka talks about.
Yes.
It's like,
lighten up.
If you want to throw your hat on backwards and your shirt's untucked and play barefoot, get after it.
Exactly. Barefoot drunk golf is a wonderful way to spend a round.
Maybe some sand trap snow angels.
Well,
that's, if you're at a fine country club here in town.
Your name is Shane, possibly, but I think, look, I'm willing to draw the line somewhere. And yes, jumping into ponds and falling into sand traps, sure, we draw a line, but barefoot, no.
Now, at 5:30, I'm going to read to you. It's going to be story time because some text messages and old tweets and DMs of Deshaun Watson's interaction with some of the massage therapists have been released.
Not good?
Well, I've read through them. And no, it's very mundane. I will say that there is no indication that from the massage therapist's point of view, mm-hmm. they're all very professional. There's no indication that it's like, oh yeah, wink, wink, we know what you want. That's what we do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is the Asians of Orca.
It's all very professional.
Yeah.
And even from his standpoint, really, I mean, he doesn't, I'll read them to you.
Okay. I've seen a couple of his, and his to me, certainly, and maybe it's a little easier now in context of knowing that this is kind of what he does, or seemingly it's what is does what it,
what it do.
He does what it do. I've seen some of his stuff and I'm like, okay, I know what you're doing.
Well, and then they also get to the point where the massage therapists are talking to one another. Yeah. Like the boss is talking to a couple of her, what do they call them? Masseurs, masseuses. What's the word? I don't know.
I think masseur is, let's go with that. I like that.
And she guesses who it is.
Oh,
she's like, wait, Texans guy. Yeah. Deshaun Watson. Yeah. We know about him. Yeah,
this is a
reputation.
Clearly he's got a thing. There's a kink right there for him.
Jason Quick is coming up next. Right now, the Hot Five.
Oh, hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
You still better than this.
Number 5.
Blazers in Utah tonight. The Jazz lost in overtime last night in Phoenix. They have now dropped 2 in a row, but they still are the one seed in the West. Yusuf Nurkic upgraded to questionable with that knee injury. The Suns are visiting the Clippers later. Good little ball game there. Also, the Bucks in Dallas to take on the Mavs. Portland too clear of Dallas as of now in the standings.
Yeah, and that's, again, you're trying to avoid the – you got to get the 6. You want nothing to do, and Lillard has talked about this, you want nothing to do with the 7-8 and the play-in the playing rounds.
Lakers are in Miami, right meow, and Miami leading by 1. One other NBA note, Gary Payton II has signed a 10-day contract with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, the mitten. Have fun in
that's great.
In Golden State. Remember when Golden State, for a brief moment there, people kind of thought that maybe they'd be an upstart team? Yeah, they're not.
Yeah, they're in a rut, aren't they?
Yeah, they suck. Yeah, and there's talk of maybe Steve Kerr getting canned after this year.
Whoa!
Yeah, they're starting to turn on him a little bit. Yeah, it's getting a little...
Do you think that's necessary?
I don't know. It's just that, I mean, clearly it's not his fault, but, you know, the narrative is happening now where did Steve Kerr really do anything, or was he just happened to be fortunate enough to inherit this team? And
that's silly.
You know how it is, man. Our memories are so long in sports. The moment stuff starts going against you, someone's got to be blamed for it, and I've just read plenty of stuff where... some of the media and the fans are starting to turn on Steve Kerr.
You try to win with Andrew Wiggins.
Exactly. Look, it's not his fault what happened. I mean, the team's been decimated, but someone's got to be blamed.
3-3 Mariners opening a set in Minnesota this afternoon, and it did not go well. The Mariners lost 10-2.
Although, good. Okay, they're 3-3. Although James Paxton's going to...
Well, they're 3-4.
3-4. Sorry.
Yeah, the big maple, James Paxton, may be having Tommy John surgery. That has apparently been recommended to him.
But he's going to seek a second opinion, which means he will be having Tommy John surgery.
Things are going great.
Their offense is so, so very bad.
Well, they picked up 2 runs today, so pretty good.
Right? Blazing. We'll talk to my brother and see, here we are 7 games in, how, you know, if he's ready to pull the shoot yet.
Here are several other finals. Mets beat the Marlins 3-2 on a walk-off hit by pitch.
Gutsiest play you'll ever see, with Conforto taking a vicious shot to the elbow plate.
Yeah, very controversial because...
It was a strike.
Yeah, it was a strike. And he throws his arm out there.
It was a slider right over the plate and he leaned into it.
But you can't review that. Cubs beat the Pirates 4-2. Cubbies are 4-3. Red Sox over the O's 7-3. Rockies, John Gray had a no-hitter today over the Diamondbacks into the 7th. The Rockies win 7-3. Cardinals shut down the Brew Crew 3-1. Cardinals are 5-2. Astros and A's
just underway.
White Sox lead the Royals 4-2. That Mercedes guy, you see that Mercedes guy?
No, I have not seen the Mercedes guy.
Seen that whole thing?
No, I have not.
He's this guy who had only had one at bat in his MLB career, going into this season. He started out the season with 8 straight hits, and he hit another bomb today. The guy can't be stopped.
I have not had the pleasure.
Ex-NFL player Philip Adams killed 5 people in South Carolina today.
Yeah, he went into a doctor's office, I guess.
Was at his house.
He went to the doctor's house. He and his father were both patients of the doctor. Not only killed the doctor, but he shot a couple of his grandkids.
Yeah, and he killed himself, too. No one really knows the motive. The doctor's name is Robert Leslie. This was in Rock Hill, South Carolina. He was murdered along with his wife, Barbara, and 2 grandchildren, ages 9 and 5.
Now, the dad...
Another person who was working at their home was shot and killed, and a 6th person was shot but did not die. They are severely wounded.
Yeah, now, he was kind of a journeyman. He bounced around quite a bit. His career did end. He had 2 concussions in 3 games, and that ended his career. And his dad, you know, his dad is coming out and saying that he thinks that football messed up his son. So...
He's only 33 years old, or was.
We'll see what happens. I mean, who knows if there'll be a motive behind this. If CTE is found, obviously they're going to do an examination, I'm sure, for it. But, yeah, his dad came out and said that, you know, he was a good boy, can't see this happening, and just said that he was in a bad spot.
Yeah, I don't remember him as a player. But.
I don't either, but I can't think of anything more horrific than what happened. That's just... heartbreaking.
85th Masters at Augusta National Golf Club. It did not move out of Georgia. Round 1 scoring average 3 shots tougher than when they played back in November. It was playing tough out there today. As a matter of fact, the overall score in round 1 in November was 54 under par combined field. Today, 220 over par.
Heyo.
Very different.
Yikes, what, you said 12 guys, right, I think, after round 1 were under par?
12 guys. Justin Rose is your leader. He shot 65. He got red hot. He started 2 over, but from holes 8 and in, he finished 9 under. So he is now 7 under. He is your leader, 7 under. Brian Harman, Hideki Matsuyama, 3 under. Will Zalatoris, the South African guy named Boosenhouten.
Sure.
That guy, I don't know what his name is. I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't know.
They're 2 under, along with Webb Simpson and Patrick Reed. Siwoo Kim, Jason Kokrak, Shane Lowry, Tyrrell Hatton, and Jordan Spieth are all 1 under. Everybody else, even par or over. Now, some bad scores, if you like. Fred Couples, 79.
Jason,
not great.
Jason Day shot 77. Johnson had 77. Rory went 76 and hit his dad in the process.
Hit his dad with a ball.
Rory was, or Sergio was a 76 as well.
Patrick Cantlay shot 79. Oof. Matt Kuchar, 78. Lee Westwood, 78. Louis Oosthuizen was playing well for a while. He shot 76. And Bryson DeChambeau shot 76. That does not mean that these guys won't make the cut, because this was a very difficult day for scoring.
Although they're saying there could be some thunderstorms coming, so maybe that softens it up a little bit.
For the weekend, yeah. They're saying that maybe tomorrow night. There's your Hot 5. It's refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports are back. Always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill. That wasn't good enough. Coors Light!
There you go.
Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. All right, Jason Quick, our Blazers insider, gets us caught up on all things Blazers. Will Yusuf Nurkic play tonight? That's next on The Fan.
It's time for Who's Leading the Charge? A look under the hood at the coaches, players, and teams getting it done. Brought to you by Battery Exchange.
1-2 coming. And the slider in there, strike 3.
Conforto's hit on the pitch. It's in the strike zone. And hit Conforto. He made no effort to get out of the way. It was a strike, but he didn't move. And Don Mattingly is going to come out and argue the call with the home plate umpire, Ron Culpa.
Oh, stuff it, Mattingly.
Look, it was a gutsy play.
Well, yeah,
it takes a lot of guts to step in front of a 78-mile-an-hour breaking ball and take one right in the middle of the zone for a walk-off.
That's always a classic teammate dugout shout. Wear it! You know, a guy ducks out of the way. Come on, wear it!
Now, the umpire did say after the game that he blew the call and he should have been out because it was a strike and he leaned into it. But you can't,
that is true.
You can't review it.
Can't review it.
Let's go, Mets go!
Michael Conforto leading the charge. Battery Exchange, over 14 area locations to serve you. Battery Exchange with an X.com.
Notifications to get special offers and up-to-date in-game action.
All right, here's Jason as the Blazers get set to take on Utah tonight. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Great.
That sounded like a very genuine, just a lovely greeting between the two of you. Fine. Great. Thanks.
Well, we were talking as to each other the other day about on text about our baseball teams.
Hot rotary baseball challenges.
I hope that never gets out because we'd be canceled. Or at least I would be. Is Nurkic going to play tonight?
Yes, he will be available.
All right.
Okay, now available. Does that mean he's going to play or is it like what's?
I would imagine he's going to play, but that's kind of the official way that they're stating it. Stocks addresses the media here in about 10 minutes, and I'm sure he'll confirm that one way or the other, but I would expect him to start.
How do you feel about this team right now? I mean, it's we officially concluded that they just kind of suck the other day, but that's not really fair. I mean, look at them. They have a nice record, and they've got the most clutch player in the league. But they just don't beat good teams. So what do you make of them?
Yeah, I think you hit it right there on the head. I think they're a good team, but they're not an elite team or a great team. And I think in the NBA, you know, there's two very distinct pairings of teams. There's a lot of really bad teams, and there's a collection of very good teams. And Portland's kind of right in the middle there. They're not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination, but they're really not a contender or can consider themselves elite by any stretch of the imagination either. I mean, 1-7 against the teams ahead of them in the West. That's a huge stat. And it's not just 1-7. They're not really even competing against those teams. They're losing by an average of 14 points in those 8 games. So that at this point of the season has to be a concern.
Many people who see this clearly, Jason, they're the same every year. But it seems that a lot of people don't see it that clearly, or they think that the West Finals run was more what should be the expectation of this team. I mean, to me, they're the same every year. Do you feel any sort of pressure, whether it be the GM, the coach, from Damian Lillard, anywhere in the fan base, do you feel that this is different, that people are just finally fed up with them being the same every year? And they've been bouncing the first round 3 out of the last 4 years, 6 out of the last 8 times they've made the playoffs. So is the pressure mounting, or are we just going to keep this same pattern?
Oh, there's no question the pressure is mounting. And I think Terry Stotts' job is on the line. I think if he'll last throughout the season, and I think it's greatly going to depend on how successful they are in the playoffs on whether he comes back next year. I think he has to win one, possibly two playoff series to have a chance of coming back, just because the same thing is happening over and over, that they can't defend, they can't play at a championship level. I think everyone can agree that Terry Stotts is a fine coach, but after 9 years, I think the book is kind of written on him. Can he elevate this franchise to the next level? I think right now the answer is no. Now, obviously, he's had some bad luck as far as injuries, Nurk being the biggest one. Nurkic is the one guy who you can tangibly point to and say he helps this team's defense. Historically, you can look back and see how, when he's in the lineup, this team plays average to above average defense. And it's just that the past 2 years, he hasn't been able to stay healthy enough. And really two and a half years, when you throw in the 2019 playoffs, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And so you can't really get a good gauge of this kind of iteration of the Blazers. I still think this is, on paper, the best collection of talent that the Blazers have had in the Lillard era, but they haven't been able to stay healthy enough to get them all on the court at the same time, in shape, gelling, and all of that. So it's really hard to kind of get a complete picture, but to circle back to your original question, yeah, I think there's a lot of people's futures on the line here. And I think Terry Stotts is at the forefront of that. I think he doesn't survive if the season continues like this. I mean, he will last to the end of the year, but I don't think he'll be back next year if they continue to play defense like this. And if they, because if they continue to play defense like this, they'll be gone in four games or five games in the first round.
So you said people, jobs, multiple. So if Stotts goes, obviously that would be the biggest shakeup under the kind of the Lillard, era. I mean, LaMarcus, I guess you could make that argument one and two. But would it be something in the offseason where you could see not only Stotts being gone, but finally a major shift being done in the roster? What other I'm interested. What other people do you think are on the line?
Well, what about the GM?
Yeah.
I don't have a sense on Olshay's future. I would think that he's under a little bit more solid footing than Terry, but I don't know that for sure. But as far as the roster, there's going to be a lot of movement, I think, on this roster regardless, just because, Powell's a free agent. Collins is a free agent. Carmelo will be a free agent. Derek Jones Jr. Will have an option to decide. So, Cantner's will be a free agent. So there's a lot of potential for movement here. And I think depending on how this season finishes up and how they play in the playoffs, you could see, five or six new Blazers next year.
This is Jason Quick, our Blazers insider here on The Fan. Yeah, it's interesting about Olshay because I think Olshay and Stotts are about the same. Like, I think they're both good. They've both done a good job. Like you said, it's just that neither have been able to get to do their job well enough to get it to the next level. And that is particularly frustrating, I would imagine, to a lot of fans because you have a generational talent in Damian Lillard. So I guess, I don't know. Does firing Stotts really? What does that accomplish if you have the same GM who's making the same sort of moves that are prudent but never special? What does that do short of a major shakeup?
Well, you can have somebody who coaches defense better for starters. I think that's the main thing you'll be looking at if they do make a change at the coaching position.
Yeah, but my point is, I guess that goes hand in hand with talent. I mean, how good defensively could this team really be with this current collection of players?
I think they could be top 15. I think they could be a middle of the pack, if not slightly better. And when you combine that with a top five offense, then I think, you can be a factor, especially when you have Damian Lillard in there. So, I would disagree. I think you guys know I have a lot of respect for Olshay. I think he's really, really sharp. I really do. And I think he's made some really good moves. I think the Nurkic trade was brilliant. I think the move for Cantor and Hood at the deadline that propelled them into the Western Conference Finals was very good. I think his move with Powell this year greatly improved this team. And I think getting Covington was much needed. And I think it's really played well for him. And I think he's drafted well. I think Zach Collins' injury has really hurt this team's timeline. I mean, they spent a lot to get him, moved up to get him at 10, and he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. I think that really hurt him.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. Like I said, I think he's done a good job, but they're in the same spot. And all these moves, they're good, but so what? If you're still sixth and you're still getting beat in the first round, I think fans are, you see what Toronto did, and I'm not saying Olshay, well, I am kind of saying that a big swing is in order. Other teams are doing it. You see what Denver did at the trade deadline. You see what Toronto did, just literally taking the best team in the East, best record, and pulling in Kawhi Leonard, and then they win the title. Even small market teams like Minnesota tried it. Now, Minnesota failed, but they put together a pretty damn good roster. They brought in Thibodeau and brought in all these guys. just it's I think it's the lack of big move that's like, okay, now all the chips are in. That's really what it is.
I get what you're saying, but you also have to look at it from a perspective that he has put all of his chips in Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. And they make a ton of money, which hamstrings you there in one aspect. But he locked down what he thought was going to be the future of this team, Dame, CJ, and Nurk. And to a degree, Zach was part of that. And he thought he had a pretty good nucleus there to build around. It's just that the two big guys haven't been able to stay healthy. So I think it's underrated how, he has been able to maintain two stars in this town, in Dame and CJ. And he gambled on that. And you can debate that all you want, that whether or not it's smart to invest all that money in two smaller size guys who don't defend all that well. But you can also argue that, hey, the league is trending toward offense and three-pointers, and he's got, arguably the best backcourt in the NBA, and that's the way he has gambled that. So I do think he has gone all in. It's just it's been to keep his homegrown stars in Portland.
But the results have not garnered anything but one West Coast Finals run, Western Conference Finals run. So maybe that's good enough for people. I just think if that's it, if you're saying that's it, that's his best swing, it's not good enough because they continually lose in the first round. So that's how I would view it. But
there's no question, Isaac, that if they are bounced in the first round this year, there's going to be a lot of long, hard looks at everything in this organization. I mean, let's not forget, last year, Jody Allen paid the most money for an NBA roster. They had the highest salary. This year, they're right up against being taxed. She's forked out the dough. She has supported this team from a financial standpoint, and she has zero results for it. And from what I am told, she is very results oriented. She needs to see what her money is getting her. And so far, it hasn't gotten her anything, hasn't gotten her a playoff victory. So they need to produce, and I think they know it. Who falls, I don't know. I can't forecast that, but I just don't think Terry survives this. Okay. If they are bounced in the first round.
Do we know, I mean, obviously this team is Damian Lillard centric. Do we know how Lillard feels about any of this? He's been, known as a very, very loyal guy. Some people can say loyal to a fault. Do we know where he kind of sits in all this?
Well, he said this offseason he went to Neil and said, we need to go for it. I'd like for us to go for it. And Neil took that and, made the Robert Covington trade. The Covington trade was hard for Neil to make because he gave up two first-round picks. And Neil really values first-round picks because in Portland, that's the way you can get stars like Lillard and McCollum through the draft. It's very hard to get them in free agency or through trade. So that was a go-for-it move in Olshay's eyes, was going and getting Covington and spending two first-round picks. But as far as, I think a lot is made about Dame's support for Terry and that's keeping Terry in Portland. I don't think so. I mean, Dame is very loyal to everyone within the organization. He attaches himself to it. But, remember, his best friend was Tim Frazier. He was very close to Mason Plumlee. Both of those guys were traded and or moved on. And so in the end, the biggest thing that Dame cares about is winning. And I think it would hurt him if Terry was let go. But I think he would get over it and attach himself just like he did to Terry with whoever the new guy is.
Is it too early to speculate on a new guy? Like, I feel like if you're going to fire a coach like Stotts with so much continuity that they've had here, they better have a pretty good replacement in mind. Do you know of any guys that would be in the pipeline for that?
I do, but I'd rather not say. I don't want to get into that right now.
Okay. We'll circle back to that. So they've got the guards, but then on the bigs, you know, he covets first round picks. Well, he traded up to get Zach Collins, who, and I know you like him, but taking personal relationships out of this, he's not giving him anything, and he's still out, and Nurkic is continually not healthy. How much longer can they count on these two bigs as part of the future?
Yeah. You know, what's the cliche now that a huge skill in the NBA is availability.
Yeah.
You got to be available to be of any value. And they haven't gotten that out of Zach and Nurk. As far as Zach, I think they look to bring him back on like a 1 year prove it type deal. They've invested a lot in him. They like him. They believe in him. So I think they bring him back one more year. I think it'll be in a team friendly type deal. As far as Nurk, I don't know where they stand on him. I think Nurk has a lot to prove or a lot to show. They want to be patient with him. They want to ease him along in this process. But as we talked about earlier, he is so essential to the success of this team. But after a while, I think you have to ask yourself, you know, is it worth waiting on him? And I think that's something that they'll probably decide over these next 22 games in the playoffs.
All this talk, I mean, you mentioned when Nurkic is healthy. I mean, is there a chance that Nurkic, you get 22 games here, that he can get healthy and this really is a difference maker? Does this boil down to them getting out of the first round? Does it simply boil down to what Nurkic gives them?
No doubt. Because that's the only way that they will play competent defense is if he's in there at center, moving around, altering shots. They need him in there. I mean, God bless Enes Kanter. He's been great this year, but I don't think they can win a series with him defending in there. It's just they're already going to be up against it. I don't see them finishing in the top four unless Nurk comes back and this team catches fire. But it's not looking very promising right now just because how they fared against upper echelon teams. And they've got the majority of their remaining schedule is against teams with winning records.
And do we know, I know it's, you know, we don't have a big sample size. And he's played, 16, 17 games. But at the start of this, you know, it wasn't going so well. And I know he had some a rocky offseason. Do we know where, like he's at from a mental standpoint? I mean, obviously the physical stuff is something you got to take care of. But, you know, is he, where is Nurkic at?
I wish I could answer that better. I would have a better feel for that if I was around more often and in the locker room and seeing his interactions. But just because of the way, you know, beat reporting is in this age, it's all over Zoom. You don't get very much interaction. So it's hard for me to say where Nurk's head's at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's interesting because, we're all hoping that he comes back. And you said 22 games, and I think he's been back, five games since this, but we've yet to see, we've yet to see it click. I'll just say that. And I know at the start of the year, he wasn't playing real well and there were some other extenuating circumstances. And so I just think a lot of people, are wondering that. And it's, like you said, it's just probably hard to know.
Nurk is one of those guys that needs things to go well for him. He's not great at battling through on-court adversity. If his shot's not going, if he's getting bad calls, if someone's scoring on him, things can kind of spiral on him quickly. So he works well off positive momentum. And I think it's been frustrating for him at the beginning of the season. He wasn't in great condition because of, his off-season was spent tending to family stuff in Bosnia, and he probably wasn't in the best shape. And then since he's been back, you know, he's been on the minutes restriction. He doesn't feel like he can get his rhythm. He hasn't really had his shooting touch. There was one game with foul trouble. So it seems like there's always something kind of holding him back. And so that's why I think it was a really good sign to see that he's available tonight. And I think, you know, they need him. They need this to be the first step of him gaining momentum and getting back in shape and finding his rhythm, because 22 games sounds like a lot, but it'll be over like that. So he needs to find it.
Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app has the Blazers 5.5-point underdogs tonight.
Jazz, baby. That's an easy bet.
That's an easy one, even though they went to OT last night with Phoenix?
Yep. I mean, you look at the Blazers' track record, they don't just lose to good teams. They lose big to good teams. So,
the Jazz played them once, and they beat them by, I think, 20 the first time they played.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
That was the first game of the season.
Yeah, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, it's no countsies.
We don't count that.
No. No countsies.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, guys.
Bye. Jason Quick, his appearance is here brought to you by the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app. Download the app today. Turn on notifications for special offers and up-to-date in-game action.
Could be an interesting offseason for Portland if if this season kind of...
I'd love to know what Jody Allen thinks. We should get her on.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Call her up. See, hey, Jody.
It is... we're running way behind. Here is Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, well, I want to do something here for you guys. Provide some content.
Bonus sports?
No bonus sports today. We're so far behind. Whoa.
What?
Nothing.
What's happening?
Nothing.
You said, aw, damn it.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
I thought you went GD and
you can't do that.
No, you can't.
Although
you can't
the two of you have gotten way too dangerously close in saying that the last year.
This is true.
Like 5 times each.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I did.
Notice we don't cross that line.
I said, aw.
We are so good at bouncing right up to that line.
Someone did ask me the other day if it's hard not to curse on the air, and I'm like, no.
Surprisingly easy, but
once in a while.
All of us have done it.
Yeah, but I mean, it is a really rare thing that you drop a bad curse where you say something inappropriate sometimes, you're like, but
especially when every other word out of your mouth is the F word off the air.
Yes. But like when you're around kids or like you're at a doctor's office, you're
does
not
the
just,
church know this about you?
You're not just like, believe me, they have much bigger problems with me than that.
I'm going to send them an email.
I had it last week. I almost dropped an a-hole on the air, and cause I just was going into normal speech patterns. Cause I curse a lot off the air too. And it was like, he's an ass. And just stop myself.
That's a hard one for me. The a-hole, like, yeah, you can call somebody an ass, mm-hmm. but if you call them an hole, you can't do that.
No.
That's a very hard one for me to, I almost say that a lot. I want you to know that.
The one that trips me up.
So I will probably say that at some point.
Is not the F word. The word I say
even
more,
though that's the one that you screamed on the air like 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
Yeah. That was like, whoops.
You dropped that one real aggressively.
The one that I say way more, if I'm putting a curse word Sucanic power ranking, I say the S word way more than anything else. And that's the one, because I don't think of that as a curse word. I just don't. I don't. Like the F word, you know, you use it.
It's a very vile word.
It is. And so when I'm used to, like, if I'm around other people I don't know, I'm not dropping F-bombs. But I will, whether it's appropriate. I'll drop an S-bomb around anyone. And so that's the one sometimes that I have to stop myself short of, because I don't think of that as a curse word, nor do I think it should be a curse word. I think all curse words are ridiculous, but that is somehow considered, it's a farming term. It's a bodily function.
Come on. Everybody take the cob out of their ass.
I don't think you can say that either.
Why not?
I don't think
you can.
No, I don't think you can.
I've said that many times.
I don't think you're supposed to say it.
Fire me.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
And yes, we both have sailor mouths, but you know, hey.
Suk is way worse than me.
See, I don't buy that.
Way worse.
No, Suk, you are worse than me.
Way worse, dude. No. Have gotten worse. I will tell you.
I am more on par with Suk than Rop is on par with you.
The last couple of years.
Yes, you both.
You have gotten really bad, like uncomfortably bad.
No, I haven't.
And it hurts our feelings, and we just need to.
You're delicate.
I'm like Nurkic. I'm a wuss.
Your delicate ears.
Whoa.
Look at
was
you.
That a cheap shot?
That was a cheap shot.
God.
That was the definition of a cheap
Why
shot.
Why are we taking cheap shots at the poor little trailblazers?
Over the poor 7-foot, you know, Portland Trailblazers.
Can we just call Nurkic a wuss? Is that okay to do?
No, we can't.
Because that's what I'm going to do.
No, I'm not.
He's a wuss.
I'm not going to stand for it.
And he gets too high and too low. Let's go.
I'm not going to stand for it.
Get now, your ass together.
Now he's going to challenge you to some sort of celebrity foxy boxing match because that's what we do now.
All right, we got a break.
Get your effing ass together, you A.
Yeah, and if we had a podcast, that would be all. That wouldn't be bleeped.
See you next Tuesday.
Whoa.
Jeez, Sook.
God.
What are you doing?
You can't say that.
You really can't.
I don't even think you can say that way.
I can't say see you next Tuesday.
No.
Stop.
Don't
double down.
Can I tell you? Can I tell you? I'm becoming a big fan of that word.
I bet you are.
It's fantastic.
God.
I highly recommend breaking it out. Because it's wonderful.
I highly recommend breaking.
It's a wonderful term.
This is Who's Money in Sports. A look at winning performances and the coaches, players, and teams who get it done. Brought to you by Guild Mortgage.
Keller's offer. Mercedes launches. Deep to left. Gone. Back to back in the first.
What? Oh, Mercedes. He hit another bomb.
Yeah, you said he 8 hits in a row or something to start the year.
Yeah, but they got Royals got him out today because the Royals are so good.
Well, he also hit a home run today.
I know he went 2 for 3. But the Royals got him out
on the out.
He made an out.
Yes, courtesy of the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, I gathered that he hit a home run based on the clip that you just played.
I feel like that was kind of an a-hole move on the part of Mike Lynch.
What an effort.
Trolling the greatness of the Royals.
Scott and Brian at Guild Mortgage probably love this. Find the loan to fit your life. Go to homeloansbyscottandbrian.com and select from hundreds of loan products tailored to fit your needs. Homeloansbyscottandbrian.com.
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right. What?
Nothing.
I have Deshaun Watson.
Just over here being happy. Why can't
yes,
I be happy?
Yes, I love that.
Be
you know,
happy for me.
My wife does this to me all the time.
Yeah.
Where I will be looking at her longingly and just enjoying her beauty.
Yes. Just it radiating.
And I'll be smiling or looking, and she'll go, "What?" I'm like, "Well, can I just look at my beautiful wife?"
What's wrong with me just being in a good
I'm
mood?
I'm picturing you naked.
Yeah. That goes
well,
without,
not you.
That goes without saying. I mean, I know you look over here and, you know, you're like, you want this, but, you know, you can't. I respect Nurse Nice too much. Sorry. Plus, it might wreck the relationship.
So do you want Deshaun Watson leaked tweets?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Some of these are pretty.
Tweets or these? I'm assuming these are texts,
they're
right?
Texts and, like, DMs.
Sure.
And it's hard to tell who's who, but I think you can kind of get the point. These were leaked by the attorney who is representing the 22 women who are suing Watson. Mm-hmm. So this one looks like it's from Deshaun Watson's DMs, and it just reads, "Today I can talk to the girl I know to let me check who is available for today." Of course, he's reaching out to somebody, for a massage.
Yes.
Then he says, "Do you have their Instagram pages?" And then the woman responds, "Can you go to the spa or prefer to do it in your house?" "Yes, they have Instagram pages." "Either, whatever works for them." And then she sends over Instagram photos.
Yeah. Look, he.
And then it says she works with a lot of baseball players. Hmm. So that's the first one.
Look, I mean, again, all of this is there's nothing. None of this what he's doing is setting up massages. That is 100% at this point factual. It's just a matter of whether you think these women were okay with what was happening or whether or not they thought they were getting involved in something legitimate. And obviously he turned it into something that was not.
So he says, "What do you mean by that? LOL. I was curious on if you have any massage therapists here in Arizona you recommend." Ha 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 ha. I read messages. Read message. I don't know. This is a separate one. So it's, I don't know what this is pertaining to, but it says, "Yes. Would you like a boy or a girl?" He says, "Girl, and do you teach yoga?" "Yes, I do. Fitness yoga." "A girl therapist," is what he says. "That's more Swedish and relaxation." "And what's fitness yoga?" "It's more like yoga and Pilates." "When do you need the massage?" That's another one. Okay. It's pretty mundane.
Yeah.
Right?
Nothing of this is necessarily overtly bad.
This is a text message. I know. That's crazy. I told you I stopped working with him. Okay. So this appears to be two women talking about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
To massage therapists. I told you I stopped working with him and question mark. Yeah. Why? Because I was hearing too much stuff about him messing with other people, like other therapists and estheticians. He's been doing a lot. The last 3 to 4 months. And he even told his ass he needed to be careful because his name is getting around. I just hope nobody call me to question me.
Okay.
Okay.
So clearly she's saying that there's a reputation going around and there you go.
And then here they're setting up a woman coming there to, a therapist coming. So the restroom isn't available at the moment. Mm-hmm. Try to go before you come. Thank you. Okay. 2:45. He responds with a thumbs up. I'm here. Sorry about you feel. And then at the end of it, all it says is sorry about you feeling uncomfortable. Never were the intentions. Let me know if you want to work in the future. My apologies.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, again, she doesn't say anything, but go to the restroom before you come here. You can't use mine.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, I'm here. And then
something
all
happened.
Of a sudden an apology.
Yeah.
And then the last one, it's actually not the last one. It's the last one I'll read. It says, block his number. If she feels the need to pass him off so she doesn't have to deal with him, she can send him my number. I am confident in handling those situations. Usually they will stop after you say no. That's been my experience anyway. I've never had anyone that kept pushing boundaries if it kept on. If she decides to work on him again and he pushes it again, I can get the player personnel person from whatever team it is for her. That's who you would talk to on the team to handle it. They don't do much about the situation, though.
So, clearly something has happened here. Clearly it's pushing the issue. And this kind of goes along with the one lady who laid out her case in Sports Illustrated where he kept exposing himself. He took off his towel. He kept thrusting at her and that he just kept on and on and on and on and on.
Here's another DM that says,
apparently too, with that quote, this happens with tons of players then. Go to the player personnel person, but they don't really do anything about it.
It's on the reg.
Yeah.
Then she says, you don't have to tell me, but out of curiosity, was it Deshaun Watson? So she can report to police, but from what I understand, they won't do much. I would recommend to just not take him anymore, block his number and such. If she feels the need to pass him off so she doesn't have to deal with it, she can send him my number. I am confident in handling those situations. Usually they will stop after you say no. That's been my experience anyway. I've never had anyone that kept pushing boundaries if it kept on.
How creepy is it that it's become so normalized that they're like, yeah, send him my way. I'll deal with the sexual pervs trying to get sexual favors out of a massage.
Right.
That right there lets you know just how common this is. And like I said, I talked to my massage therapist about this, and she says that unfortunately this is very much a part of this profession and a stigma that they have to fight through. Like I said, at this point, whatever happens here, in my mind, I think there's a real easy narrative here of what Deshaun Watson has done.
Well, sure.
Question here is to what level of criminal behavior did this cross?
Well, these don't really, I was looking there's an idea that maybe all of this is like, look, those women knew they do that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So this is all BS, right? Yeah. None of this is giving that vibe at all.
No. And by the way, there may be some amongst the 22 that still blows my mind that may be more comfortable with this and are willing to go to that, because certainly there are, if you're Bob Kraft can tell you, or drive down 82nd sometime, there's plenty of places that specialize in this sort of thing. But if there are a handful of people that are fine with this, it doesn't mean that the others are, nor does it make it okay for you to take that and then push it upon someone who's just trying to do a job.
Last one says, is it Texans? It sucks, but it's just like a regular client. In my experience, they usually try the first time, then stop. If it's Deshaun Watson, I'll call his manager or agent on her behalf if she'd like. I don't even have to know her name, just confirmation that it's him. My advice to her would be to know that she did nothing. It's not her fault. These guys are used to never being told no, and women throw themselves at them daily. It's easier said than done, but shake it off. There's nothing she could have done to deter it.
Yeah.
And there are others, but you get the idea.
You get the idea. Look, I don't think that this ends well for Deshaun Watson, and quite frankly, just from my understanding of the case, it shouldn't end well for him. I think he's a predator. Just my opinion.
All right, the club is next on The Fan Sports.